You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're spending the hour with Wisconsin State Treasurer Sarah Godlewski. Since she was elected in 2018, she's been working to expand the duties of the office and be the state's fiscal watchdog. She chairs the Board of Commissioners of Public Lands, which provides funding for schools, libraries, other services. So what questions do you have for the state treasurer? What issues should her office prioritize amid the economic fallout from the pandemic? We're at 800-642-1234. State Treasurer Sarah Godlewski, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, good morning, Kate. It's great to be here.
We've been asking a number of community leaders about observations of the shutdown and the whole reopening process. You live in Madison. How are you feeling about Madison's response to the pandemic so far?
Well, I will tell you, Kate, I'm sure like many Wisconsinites, I remember that Thursday that the governor called the state of emergency because of the pandemic and the uncertainty I think everybody was feeling. We didn't know a lot about the virus and what it would really, what this would look like. But while there was uncertainty, something that I was, that was really hopeful was how people were coming together. A friend of mine actually in Hayward, Wisconsin was a retired nurse, and she came out of retirement and went to New York City to volunteer in a hospital there. And I know a lot of retired nurses and retired medical workers came out of retirement to step up in this time of need. But it didn't just end there. People were making masks. I know that there was a volunteer corps of people who were good seamstresses, and they were able to make hundreds of masks for people in our community, or they would buy gift cards from businesses because businesses were struggling. And so one of the things that I've been really hopeful about is how we've been able to come together. And look, we know recovery is not going to be easy, but if we're able to come together, I think it's going to be something that we're able to do together.
You had criticized the Supreme Court, state Supreme Court's decision to lift the statewide stay-at-home order in May. If we do see a second wave here, would you support the governor imposing a new statewide order?
Absolutely, Kate. I mean, I was talking with folks from La Crosse recently, and that's an area that we're seeing a hotspot. And in talking with those business owners and community members, they have expressed how just things aren't clear. They're not really sure sometimes the procedures that they should be doing, how they can best do it. They're also worried about expenses and how they pay for everything to make sure their business meets these requirements. And so I think additional clarification and empowering the governor to provide the guidance. I mean, he put together the Badger Bounce Back Plan is something that the state would really benefit from.
You have been urging the federal government to do more with stimulus, to provide more assistance to states on top of the CARES Act, the $2 trillion stimulus. What do you see as you talk around the state? What are the greatest needs that you see?
Well, Kate, there's no doubt about it. We are in an unimaginable health pandemic on top of what has been generated this economic crisis. And really, now more than ever, we need government services to really keep us safe and healthy. And what do those government services look like? It's firefighters. It's EMTs. It's our healthcare workers. It's public works who help manage our water treatment plants and sewer system and our education system. But when you look at these services, Kate, they're all essential services. And in talking with the county treasurers from across our state, we're seeing unprecedented declines in revenue, but yet we're seeing significant increases in expenditures to try to fight this awful virus. And so to that point, like, we are taking actions that we can. So we're tightening our belts, just like families are across the state, whether it is doing a 5% cut, 10% cut, like, those are things that we are looking at. We're also looking at how we can be using our rainy day funds, our savings accounts here, But we know that that's not enough and that the federal government's need, we're going to need the federal government to step up and take action.
We're talking with State Treasurer Sarah Godlewski about the work of her office as it relates to fiscal issues amid the pandemic. With your questions for the State Treasurer at 800-642-1234. Do you want the State Treasurer to provide the public with more information about state spending? What concerns do you have about the state's business dealings? Should the state play a larger role in sustainable investments? We're at 800-642-1234. Treasurer Godlewski, I want to ask you about the state's emergency budget reserves, the rainy day fund, as it's like to be called. When and how should the state dip into it as the pandemic plays out?
I mean, one of the things that we really need to look at as a state is how significant is this decline in revenues? Now, we know that the latest decline estimate that was provided by the Fiscal Legislative Bureau was around $380 million. And I think something that is uncertain is, when is this pandemic going to end? Because we know that people, we don't know about a vaccine. And while we have testing, testing has been taking a while, and we're doing what we can to make sure we're doing contact tracing. But what I really believe we need to look at is understanding how we can continue to provide these essential services with the limited resources that we do have, because our rainy day fund is there, but it's nowhere near what it needs to be. And even the governor has set forth guidance to do, have a 5% cut in this upcoming biennium, and then another 5% cut, and we can't have any growth. But it's still critical that we are looking at maintaining our government services, because at the end of the day, it's these government services that are going to keep our state and our communities safe and healthy.
Let's talk about small businesses, which you have a very vested interest in, and the Paycheck Protection Program, which you've been critical of the program, the loan program that came out of the CARES Act that gave small businesses across the country a shot at applying for hundreds of millions of dollars in emergency aid. What have you seen out of this program?
So the Paycheck Protection Program, Kate, was a good first step in providing resources to our small businesses. But I think one of the things that was challenging, and in my conversations with Wisconsinites across the state, is that how do they best access this money? A lot of the large banks, not the community banks in the state, but the larger banks, were not necessarily supporting smaller businesses that needed smaller amounts of money. And that was frustrating, because they would ask for that money and they were told that the application process was closed. And then they would read in the paper that publicly traded companies were actually given that money and given it as a priority over these small businesses. And we know the purpose of the Paycheck Protection Program was to provide capital to those that didn't have access to capital. They didn't have a line of credit through their bank, or they didn't have investors that they could tap into to help them survive this financial storm. And so it was, how can we make sure this is an easy process for our small businesses? How can we make sure communities of color are getting access to these funds? So that was like the first piece, Kate. I think the second piece was transparency and accountability, because we were hearing stories about how Fortune 100 companies were getting this money, hedge funds were getting this money, pharmaceutical companies were getting this money, but the small town Main Street store in Eau Claire, Wisconsin was not. And so these are our tax dollars at use. And so I think it's really critical that we understand where this money is going, and if it was misused, that it comes back to taxpayers so we can give it to businesses that deserve it and need it.
State Treasurer Sarah Godlewski is with us this hour discussing a range of state issues. You can join in at any point. How should the treasurer work with the governor and the state legislature? What concerns do you have about the state's fiscal status? What would you like to say about how Wisconsin is weathering the pandemic and how you are doing? It's 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute with Treasurer Godlewski here on the Ideas Network.
The
If you're just joining us, we're talking about the work of the state treasurer's office during these turbulent economic times. We're spending the hour with state treasurer Sarah Godlewski, the state's chief financial officer. What fiscal tasks do you want her office to be proactive on? What should her office be overseeing when the state is facing a financial crisis? There's time to talk at 800-642-1234. Let's take a call now. Sonia is with us from Menominee Falls. Hi, Sonia.
Hi. I was wondering, is there any possibility, or is it this something already set up, where citizens of Wisconsin can contribute to essential services and even possibly contribute, like through the state or through Tony Evers, I'm not sure how, so we can contribute to such things as the firemen and
essential services like in healthcare or fire, things like that, Sonia?
Yeah, all essential services, maybe even have like different little funds for the, so people can put in $25 here or $40 there for different services.
Treasurer Godlewski?
Yeah, well, Sonia, thanks for the question. And I think this again hits on showing how Wisconsinites are coming together and willing to roll up their sleeves and do what we can to make sure our community is safe. So to answer your question, is there a fund? We right now do not have like a GoFundMe page or any sort of kind of crowdfunding tool. I'm sure you've seen those through social media where people will say, help us support this community endeavor and people can donate $5, $10, $15. I don't believe there is a state-sponsored one currently. That being said, I think the other piece that you, but it's a good idea and maybe something that we should think about, because I think if there's one thing that we need to make sure we are doing in navigating this financially unprecedented situation is we have to be innovative and we have to be creative in doing that. And this may be a way in which we can do that. So I appreciate that thought and comment.
With regards to volunteering.
Kate.
I was going to say, you chair the board of commissioners of public lands and awarded about more than $5 million in special funds to public schools after the pandemic began. How has that funding been used?
Well, Kate, I will tell you, I think it was a really good opportunity for us to step up and really help the state. Just to provide a bit of a background, we provide money for schools that support books and technology. And when COVID hit and students and parents overnight were told that they have to keep their kids at home and we're going to be doing remote learning, you need tools to do that successfully. And I talked to a librarian actually in northern Wisconsin and just at the beginning of April and asked her how things were going. And she was very emotional, Kate. And she shared with me, look, Sarah, I am doing everything I can to provide the resources for our teachers and students to be successful in this remote environment, but it's challenging. And so I was glad that we were able to step up and provide that $5.25 million to address the digital divide. So that money was going for hotspots and ebooks and technology that would really help our kids learn, because whether you're in rural Wisconsin or urban Wisconsin, you know broadband is a challenge. And if broadband is a challenge, remote learning is a challenge. So whatever we can do to help teachers and students, that is what we wanted to do. And I was glad we were able to step up and do it.
And the money was awarded to public schools. Was it awarded to private schools or not?
So the way that the statutes are set up for our fund is it provides technological funds and funds for books for all public schools. So public schools in all 72 counties is what the statute says.
We're talking with State Treasurer Sarah Godlewski about fiscal issues amid the pandemic. With your questions front and center, 800 646-642-1234. What concerns do you have about how the state is approaching the pandemic? What should the state be working on next as we look at the waves of the pandemic? Call in. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. Let's take a look at housing. You had supported Governor Evers' decision to ban evictions and foreclosures when the pandemic began. Where are you at with housing?
Okay, I started the Treasurer's Homeowners Task Force right before the pandemic hit. And literally 2 weeks later, and the whole vision of this task force was to help people not only buy homes, but stay in them, because we know a critical part of the American dream is owning a home. And it's also important in wealth building in our state. But when COVID struck, we as a committee, as a task force, really focused in on that foreclosure piece, because we know keeping people in their homes during this pandemic is absolutely critical. So there's two things that we are working on right now with regards to foreclosure. The first is early intervention. So when somebody misses a property tax, that's kind of the first step in starting the foreclosure process. So we can intervene and really stop that from happening before, because we know once somebody has misses a property tax bill, they can receive 18% interest on that on top of fees. Mm. So that's kind of the first part. The second one is those, Kate, that are severely delinquent with foreclosures, who are set to maybe be kicked out of their homes 90 or 60 days. And one of the things that we were looking at is a lot of times those people don't have access to credit to get them out of their foreclosure situation. But what we can do is leverage the equity in their home. And so by leveraging that equity, that can then be used to help them get out of foreclosure. So those are two processes that we are currently working on and hoping to pilot in different parts of the state soon.
Who do you see is at greatest risk right now of losing their homes in Wisconsin?
The greatest risk are those that do not have savings. And as we look at, Kate, I mean, unemployment is only is given for, I believe, 6 months. We know that's going to run out. And if we continue to have unemployment or underemployment, people with minimal savings are really going to be impacted. And so looking at how we can protect those folks and give them what financial security they need during this time.
So give us a sense of who is on this task force, and then will the task force ultimately produce a list of policy recommendations?
So it's a very unique coalition, Kate, and I think that's one of the great things about this task force is it's we have county treasurers and municipal treasurers because they're actively involved in the property tax process. We have realtors and lenders and community service agencies. So all of us from across the state, whether we have representation from Milwaukee and rural Wisconsin, are coming together to really talk about how we can increase these opportunities for home ownership, but then again, keep people in their homes.
Let's move on to student debt here. You've been talking about student debt since you came into office. What steps are at the top of your agenda right now as you look at debt, student debt, particularly amid the pandemic?
So student debt during the pandemic, Kate, has been a really interesting situation because one of the acts of Congress was that anybody with a federal loan, they were put into automatic forbearance. And that was without penalty. So they weren't required to make monthly payments, nor were they accruing interest. So it was a unique opportunity for those that actually still have a job to pay down their principal. But we know that this relief is gonna end in September. And the pandemic will go beyond that. And so what can we start doing to help folks after September? One of the things that we've been looking at is I've been having conversations with treasurers actually across the country, Kate, and how they are managing this and what are they looking at. And one of the critical pieces is how do we look at, for example, their ability to refinance? Because we know the current system doesn't work for them. When you graduate from college, you don't have assets. You don't own a home or a car, and you oftentimes don't have credit history. And so while those Wall Street mechanisms for evaluating people work later on in life, they don't work for recent college graduates. And so how can we change it by maybe looking at GPA, when they graduated, their major, where they graduated from? Those are also indicators that could be really helpful in making sure people get fair rates and managing their student debt.
And Lester, you had suggested the state's public lands could be used to help students negotiate lower interest rates with their lenders. Do you still support that idea?
Absolutely. I think one of the biggest things that we need to think about is student debt is not a liability, it's an investment. People take time to make themselves better, to get educated, to have a better career, to support their communities. And so in that role, with the Board of Commissioners of Public Lands, we've been looking at and continue to look at how can we buy this high interest debt and refinance it at a lower rate. And that's something that we will continue to be working on.
Spending the hour with State Treasurer Sarah Godlewski looking at a range of fiscal issues that affect Wisconsinites. We're getting her view from the state capitol as the pandemic wears on. What do you think the state treasurer should be doing? Are you out of work or furloughed? What is your personal debt situation amid the pandemic? And what is your student debt situation? What ways could the state provide relief? Join in at 800-642-1234. We'll be back with Treasurer Sarah Godlewski right after this news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. We're checking in with Wisconsin State Treasurer here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Treasurer Sarah Godlewski has been thinking about how small businesses will get through the pandemic. And last month, she expressed concerns about how the Paycheck Protection Program was being administered. We talked about this earlier. Is your business getting PPP funds? How is it going now? What do you want the state treasurer's office to know about your financial position amid the pandemic? We're at 800-642-1234. And State Treasurer Godlewski stays with us. Treasurer, on Juneteenth, you tweeted that elected officials, including yourself, have a responsibility to address racial inequity with actions and not only words. What is your office doing to address racism and disparities?
So, Kate, with the recent killings of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, it was clear. That people are asking for us to address systemic racism in our state. And so what I was looking at is within our economic security work, how can we address the issues of inequality? And with homeownership, for example, Wisconsin has one of the worst rates of homeownership for communities of color. Less than 25% of Black households own a home versus white families, there's over 70%. That own homes here in the state. And so we recently, Kate, had our homeownership task force, as I mentioned, and talked about how this is going to be a critical part, and we're going to be including this as part of our recommendations at the end of the year.
And when you say including it in your recommendations, like what specific recommendations will help communities of color own their own home?
So part of that goes into opportunities to access capital to buy homes. And so how can we work with lenders and create those partnerships? Another piece is looking at more with regard to, too, like keeping people in their homes. So as I mentioned, some of the foreclosure processes, specifically the severely delinquent one, impact communities of color. And so leveraging then their equity in homes. So I think there's actually a couple of different opportunities that we will be able to really think through. And that's exactly why we have people on the task force to help us do that.
Let's bring in another call now. Mike is joining us from Platteville this morning. Hi, Mike.
Good morning. How's everyone today?
Doing well.
Hi, Mike.
My question for the treasurer is, I'm hearing about all this spending, and I understand that we need to do that. What foresight are you planning for when, quote-unquote, the bill comes due? What are we as taxpayers going to be expecting to be seen as an increase in taxes to pay this tax bill that just came, or these extra costs that came up out of the blue with the COVID situation.
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think to reiterate, one of the unique kind of my role in this process is that the governor and the legislature, they tax you, they determine the budget, and then they spend that money. And kind of our role is to come back and say, did you spend tax dollars the way that you said they would? And so the conversation that I've been hearing from the legislature and the governor is exactly, how big is this impact going to be? That being said, the governor has taken proactive steps in developing our upcoming biennial budget. So, for example, we have a 5% cut across the board. Agencies will be cutting at 5% for 2021 and for 2022. There's no growth, for example. We have hiring freezes. And so these are things that we're taking in place proactively as we look at the upcoming budget and really understanding how big that deficit is going to be.
What are your office's top priorities for the next state budget?
Our priorities are to really continue to provide, Kate, I think, the value that we are bringing to Wisconsinites. So going back to that transparency and accountability that I talked about earlier, we're developing that taxpayer annual report, continuing to work on optimizing investments in Wisconsin. We know that our role as also the chief investor is making sure that our investment money doesn't just go out of the state, that it also stays in the state and can make a difference. And then continuing our economic security work and implementing the recommendations that come out of the Homeowners Task Force as well as the Retirement Security Task Force.
How do you think the state could improve in the area of transparency and how taxpayer money is being spent?
Well, one of the things that I've talked a lot about is when you look at businesses and nonprofits, they are responsible for providing an annual report. And the annual report really tells people, how did that company perform, or how did that nonprofit use their money, and how did it make a difference? But we don't really have a document like that here in the state of Wisconsin. And that's exactly what we are working on with this taxpayer annual report, is letting people know how their taxpayer money was spent. Where did it go? What difference did it make in their community? Because you can look at these 1,500 page budget documents, Kate, but they're not the most easy read. And it's sometimes confusing. And so we want to make it easy and clear and useful for Wisconsinites.
As you are taking on this role of being more of a watchdog role, do you see inappropriate spending or lack of transparency by the Evers administration?
I mean, we have not. And one of the things that is set up for the state of Wisconsin is that we do have a legislative audit bureau that has this a number that people can call. But my office has not gotten any complaints or has not received any emails or concerns in our work about misspending by the governor's office.
We're talking with State Treasurer Sarah Godlewski about a range of fiscal issues and the work of her office. You can join in with your questions for Wisconsin's treasurer. Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We heard from Liz in Dodgeville, called in, couldn't stay with us. Liz is a primary care provider, called in to say that she worries the lack of a clear message on mask wearing and social distancing is actually hurting the economy. And Liz wishes that masks would be required so everyone feels more comfortable going out.
I mean, I think that is a great recommendation and something that we all, as citizens of Wisconsin, can write the legislature to try to pass some sort of legislation or work with our local community city councils to do that, because part of the success of the economy, as was pointed out, is making sure you as a consumer feel confident going out to buy things. And if you don't feel confident going out to buy things, companies are going to suffer. And I think that is a great recommendation.
How do you see the administration working with the legislature right now on issues fundamental to the pandemic, like mask wearing, for instance?
I really believe it's coming together to talk about what are these priorities that we can keep our community, our state healthy. And look, I think one of the challenges that we know is the legislature right now is not scheduled to come back. They're not planning on coming back anytime soon until potentially the after the election in November. And we need to make sure that we have all hands on deck to effectively fight this disease. I know people need to spend time back in their districts, but we need to make sure we are developing policies in this unprecedented time that are keeping our community safe. And so that is something that I think is a really good question to the legislature, and we will see what happens.
As we were talking earlier about you chairing the Board of Commissioners of Public Lands and allocating funds to public schools for virtual and in-distance learning, as you look forward here to the fall and as schools ask for more things, that they will need more things in order to get by during a pandemic, how do you see the board looking at funding situations, perhaps funding more awards to schools annually?
Well, one of the things, Kate, that I'm really proud of is the work that we've been doing with our investment policy. So prior to being state treasurer, I actually co-founded an investment firm and have really been using my background with the Board of Commissioners of Public Lands. So we updated our investment policy to look at making sure that we include investments in Wisconsin as part of that, in addition to looking at things like climate change and social impacts on our overall portfolio. That being said, we recently had an investment committee, Kate, to just understand how is our portfolio performing? Because we need to make sure we have optimal performance so we can provide these funds to our public schools. And I'm really proud to share that when you look at typical public endowments, like a university endowment, they have fell by 13% during this pandemic. But our Common School Fund has fallen by less than 2%. In fact, our equities portfolio and our bond portfolios are performing above. And so I am really confident that we're going to be able to continue to provide a strong distribution for public schools in the future, and we'll continue to look at creative solutions to be supporting their technological needs as they work remotely.
Looking at retirement, you had formed a task force last year to look at the issues that families face with being able to retire. What is that task force doing now?
So one of the things that I actually started calling Kate Wisconsinites when the pandemic hit, and to try to understand how are they looking at retirement or how have they been leveraging retirement. And for those that have retirement funds, one woman was sharing with me that literally this was her only savings and that she was using the savings from her 401k to help pay for her mortgage and put food on the table. And so in talking with the Retirement Security Task Force, we've created a universal savings committee because we believe part of what we need to look at is how are people able to save, and they need tools to save. And the sooner people can save, it can help them weather some of these financial storms. And so that's one of the actions that we will be looking at and incorporating into our recommendations to the governor.
State Treasurer Sarah Godlewski is with us, and there's still time to talk. What do you want the State Treasurer to know about issues that hit your home, your business? What consumer protections could benefit Wisconsinites in these difficult times? You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute with Treasurer Godlewski here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We have State Treasurer Sarah Godlewski with us. We're having a wide-ranging conversation, covering a lot of ground with her on financial issues. And there's still time to talk. 800-642-1234. Treasurer, on the topic of retirement, how could state policy be changed to help people who are trying to retire?
One of the themes that has been very consistent throughout listening sessions that we've been doing, Kate, is access. We know, for example, 1 in 7 voters do not have access here in the state of Wisconsin to a retirement account at work. And a woman actually at one of the retirement listening sessions in southeastern Wisconsin, who was in her late 60s, shared with me that she wasn't at this listening session for herself. She was actually at the listening session because her 3 children, who are in their 30s, do not have access to retirement. Whether they are, they work for themselves, their small business doesn't provide it. And so this is something that the task force is looking at. We have a committee that is dedicated to really thinking through how do we provide access. Some of the questions might be, or some of the ideas have been, do we look at a state-sponsored plan where a state would provide an opportunity for Wisconsinites to directly put into like a 401k or a Roth IRA?
We have Pat from Madison who wrote in to say that they've heard Wisconsin has a very low tax on alcohol compared to other states. And Pat wants to know, could we get more funding by raising this tax?
Well, I think Pat has hit the nail on the head, which is we have to be creative with our revenue streams as we are thinking about how we're going to address this deficit, whether it is a tax, for example, on alcohol, to finally maybe closing the dark store loophole. We know that big corporations in Wisconsin like Walmart and Target have been getting preferential tax treatment over taxpayers, and that could also address our deficit. And so I think it's ideas like this that we're going to have to be putting on the table as we move forward in our economic recovery.
Bouncing over to the DNC here, and looking at Milwaukee, what do you think should happen with the Democratic National Convention in Milwaukee still slated for August?
So the DNC has shared that we will be doing our convention in Milwaukee this August. But look, it's going to feel different. It's going to probably look different than the Republican convention because one of the things that is critical is making sure that we follow the health guidance to keep our people safe. And so I trust that the health officials in Milwaukee, the DNC, and the Biden campaign will make the right call to keep people safe and use the guidance to ensure that we're not harming whether it is the attendees or the community.
Should the convention be completely virtual?
I think we have to wait and see. I mean, we have talked about as long as we are upholding health standards, that I think there can be some participation in person. But what exactly that looks like is exactly what those health teams are thinking through. They're the experts, Kate, not me in this. So I really trust them and how they guide us.
Well, in our last minute together, we have bounced around to so many issues. But what are you tackling at the top of your list? What is on your to-do list today?
So believe it or not, my to-do list on today is attending the task force meeting in Wisconsin Rapids about the Veroso plant that is retiring, unfortunately, 900 people because of the decline we've seen in the paper industry. And so how can we ensure economic activity maintains and we build in central Wisconsin? So that, for example, is something I'm also doing work with the Board of Commissioners of Public Lands, and we have a home ownership check-in. So a lot of different financial activities going on today, Kate.
And certainly shedding employees, 900, that is a lot of employees for a community like Rapids. What would you say there? How can you help that community?
Well, this goes back to my unique role as chair of the Board of Commissioners of Public Lands, because we have a lot of public lands in that area. And on our public lands is timber, and we sell our timber to these paper mills, and that's a critical part of our revenue stream. And further, we run a state trust fund loan program that helps with revenue and issues with economic development. And so our meeting today is a kickoff meeting to talk about maybe how we can be involved and help ensure that that community has the security that they need.
Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
Sarah Godlewski is Wisconsin State Treasurer. She also chairs the Board of Commissioners of Public Lands. Now it is time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with the story of a food tradition that made its way from a Caribbean island to Wisconsin.
Cooking can transport us to another place, another time. When we cook, we're able to keep our family's dishes and memories alive for generation after generation. That's the case for Anne Marie Herman in Madison, who was raised on the island of St. Lucia. WPR's L. Malik Anderson brings us her story about fish cakes. It's part of the Wisconsin Life series, Food Traditions.
The smell of hot oil, jerk chicken, and freshly baked bread with coconut and chocolate chips, Bill Anne Marie Herman's kitchen in Madison. She heats up the oil in a large, heavy cast iron pan over her stovetop. Her ingredients wait on the countertop, ready to be put to work.
This is flour. This is the codfish. It has some thyme, onion, garlic, and other spices.
On the menu today, salted fish cakes. She fills the frying pan with as many battered fish cakes as she can at once. After they are all done, she takes them out of the pan and places them on top of a huge pile of more fish cakes. This dish has been a part of Herman's life for a long time.
I was born in the Caribbean islands, St. Lucia. But when I was much younger, I used to cook for my older brothers. That's how I started cooking, real cooking.
Herman grew up in the countryside with her mother and would go back and forth to the middle of the town to cook for her elder brothers who were taxi drivers.
My brothers were taxi drivers who were in the middle of town driving tourists and stuff, so they don't have time to do anything with cooking. So I used to do the cooking for them. But what my trick was, not using a lot of fat in my food. I didn't use to measure a lot of stuff when I was cooking.
Herman started keeping track of her measurements for each dish when she decided to publish a cookbook of family favorite recipes with a Caribbean twist.
You see inside of it? It has all the Caribbean islands in there. That's my idea of putting the Caribbean foods together.
In her cookbook, she shares recipes for beef patties, fried green plantains, aloha friendship bread. There's also jerk chicken and other dishes her family enjoys.
Fish cakes is another thing I make often. You take codfish, you boil it because it has a lot of sodium in it. So you wash it first, then you put it in a little pot to boil. And then when you give it a few minutes to cook, when it softens, you wash it again. You put more cold water on it to take the salt. Then you shred it and you add spices to it.
She said her fish cakes are always a hit among her friends in the Caribbean Association of Madison.
Sometimes I even try to hide it, but they find it before the meal. And some people will come and say, where is the fritters? They call it fritters. They ask me, where are the fritters you brought? It's there, but when you look, it's gone.
St. Lucia, island of the West.
WPR producer L. Malik Anderson brought us that story on Anne Marie Herman's fish cakes. And this story is part of a project from Wisconsin Life called Food Traditions. It's a multimedia exploration of food, culture, and identity, and can be found at wisconsinlife.org/foodtraditions. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Want to make sure you catch every Wisconsin Life story? Subscribe to our podcast feed and find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And this is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to the Ideas Network.